of you were nervous coming into the mosque?
Are you Jesus? And he says, I am. But
where's the relationship and love within that?
Okay.
Can I just answer like that?
I would love everyone here to be a Muslim and to follow Islam. He said it was like his third, fourth time visiting, but he said the first time he visited, he was really scared because he had a lot of negative things that he heard pumped up with Fox News and all many of the other pundits out there, hate provocateurs, I call them. But he pushed through that, he found the courage, he made a human connection, and he came into a mosque. How many of you were nervous coming into a mosque? Be honest, okay. How many of you felt pretty comfortable? Okay, so we're at about 50-50, that's good. So a mosque is pretty much a house of God, a house of worship. This is where Muslims come to worship the one God, the one creator. What's the purpose of my life? Why am I here? It starts with those questions. It starts with thinking deeper besides materialism, satisfying one's desires and wants and needs, eat, food, sleep. It goes above and beyond that for the intellectual, for the person that's sincere, the one who wants to know, the person who reflects deeply, the person who looks around them. And I usually challenge people with this, to find one thing around you that doesn't have a purpose. From the keys in your pocket, to the chain on your neck, to your eyelashes above your eyes, to your shoelaces in your shoes. Everything around you, you see, has a purpose. But then the human being thinks, what's my purpose? So it starts with that, wanting to know, why have I been created? Why am I here? How many people believe that we should be grateful and thankful to the Creator, and we should strive our best to submit our will to the one God, to the Creator? How many? Raise your hand. Yeah? Okay, good. So you believe everyone should be a Muslim. Because that's what a Muslim is. Literally, a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to the will of the Creator. Meaning that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to follow my desires. And Islam means to submit your will to the will of the Creator. This is what Islam, peace acquired by submission to the will of God. This is what it means, simply. But we say that the concept of submission to the will of God, Islam was there from the first man, Adam. This was the original way, the natural way that God Almighty created Adam. And what did he do? He called him to submit his will to God. And that message was consistent, and it stayed like that. And when mankind deviated from that, God Almighty, out of his love, he would send another messenger. And that messenger didn't come with a different religion or a different way. He would call him, worship the one God. There's no deity worthy of worship except the one who created you. You don't worship money, fame. You don't worship yourself, your desires, human beings, angels, saints. Nothing in creation but the one God, the one creator. Thou shalt have no gods except the one God. This is what that message was always in until today. So then we see that this Quran, the Muslim evaluates it, puts it to the test. The human being puts it to the test. There's only four possibilities. That either the Quran, which claims to be from God, has a falsification test in it to say, hey, if you think it's not from the Creator, do this, this, and this. There's one very powerful ayah, we say, verse that says, أَفَلَا يَتَذَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. God Almighty is saying in the original language it was revealed in, do they not reflect over the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, than the Creator, you would find in it many contradictions, discrepancies, a challenge. Find one. And other things that are mentioned in there, from the development of the human being to biology, zoology, and the list goes on of too many things that would be compiled together that a man living in the desert 1400 years ago, because that's one of the possibilities, either Muhammad himself, he wrote it. He was known as Al-Amin. He wasn't able to, he was the unlettered, known by his people as the truthful, the honest, of the most noble character. We look at his life, we say, okay, the human being looks, says there's no way Muhammad could have come up with this book. A group of people came together to write this book. The best of minds, God Almighty is saying in the Quran, challenging human beings. If you think this is from other than God, go ahead, produce one chapter like it, or anything like it. Come, Bring all of your helpers. If you could, you won't be able to. And another test. So then a third option is from the devil. That's the third option. And then a person uses his logic, his or her logic, and says, hold on, the book is calling me to worship one God, to be morally upright, to be a good, righteous human being, to everything noble and good. We seek refuge from the cursed devil. It says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Oh, seeking refuge in God from the accursed devil. So everything that the devil is calling us to do, God Almighty in the Quran is calling us opposite to. It doesn't make sense. So then there's only one option. So the human being finds out, hold on, if it wasn't from Muhammad, he couldn't have put it together. Not from a group of men or a group of people. Who else is in there? Philosophers, whatnot. Then, who else? From the devil himself? There's only one option. So the human being sees that this Quran is indeed from who it claims to be, from the creator of the heavens and earth. For you, it would be a potential book. For the other close to 1.82 billion people, human beings, for them, they've confirmed that this is indeed, based on proof and evidence, it's not something that's just meant for the Arab. That's another misconception. So we covered one already. Two, that people believe that the Islam is for the Arabs. Arabs make up maybe 12-13%. So you have a Muslim, again, could be from Italy, could be from America, could be from where my family's from, Bosnia. We're actually the largest group of Unitarian Christians in the Balkans. At one time, see, they were considered heretics by the church because they didn't go to the church to worship. They didn't believe Jesus was God. They loved Jesus, but they didn't believe He was the literal God. They believed in the God that Jesus worshipped. They were Unitarian Christians. They were called Bogomils, those close to God. So there was a special, it's very interesting history. I visit there a lot, and I spoke to many historians, and they all pretty much give the same recollection, the same historical facts. So when Islam came, it fit like a glove. And you had 60,000 at one time of these Unitarian Christians, those who just worshiped the one God, who accepted Islam. So now we confirm this, and then you have the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The same way, if you were living during the time of Jesus, you would have to, he was the way, the truth, and the light. You couldn't bypass him to get to God. Whatever he came with, you have to go ahead and implement this in your life and follow his teachings. The same during the time of Moses. Today, we have the Quran, the verbatim word of God Almighty, and the example. It's like you get a book with the iPhone, and now there's a representative teaching you how to implement the book. And this is how Muhammad fits in. Another misconception that some people have is that Muslims worship Muhammad. This would be one of the unforgivable, unpardonable sins if someone dies in it, setting of a partner with God. So in Islam, it's pure monotheism. That all of your worship, my life, my death, God Almighty is saying, is only for the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Muhammad. But Muhammad is a messenger of God, teaching us how to worship God, how to live our lives, just like that representative, like Jesus was at his time. He said that we came to free people from the worship of creation to the worship of the Creator. So to take people from worshiping materialism, the creation, anything under the sun, anything that's created, to direct that worship from those things, and being a slave to those things, to direct that back to the Creator. And to free people from the restrictness, the tightness of this world, and to the vastness of the next life. To be in this world is a traveler, because we're going to leave, we're going to depart. This life is temporary. So don't abandon it altogether. You don't have to be a monk or be some hermit, someone who's locked up in a basement, locked up in a mosque all day. But Islam gives us the blueprint how to live our lives, to worship the one God, to be morally upright in business, in family, in all of the interactions that we have with other human beings. Everything is there. So then you have the prayer five times a day. The Bible says pray ceasingly, right? So this is, you're in a state that now you're not just praying all day and all night, but now you have at a fixed time, you can have the extra prayers, but you're in a constant state of remembrance. So prayer five times a day, fasting during the month of Ramadan. In the Bible, it has it that Jesus went off and fasted how many days?
40 days.
So you have fasting during the month of Ramadan. And then the Hajj, this is the pilgrimage to the first house of worship. once in your lifetime, if you're physically and financially able.
How many people love Jesus? Raise your hand. And every time we say Jesus, we say peace be upon him. And this is a thing that another common thing that it's an article of faith for Muslims to believe in Jesus. You see Jesus reiterating when one came to him in the Gospel of Matthew and said, "Oh, good master," referring to Jesus, "what good thing can I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. And if one wants to enter into eternal life," meaning to get to Jannah, to paradise, "one must obey the commandments." So then you see the same thing. God Almighty is saying, in the Bible you hear when one came to him said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." So you hear Moses saying it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." It's repeated. So Jesus copied the same thing, we'd say. No, he's just reiterating the same truth. So he's reiterating the same truth. When it came to Jesus, he repeated the same thing. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." Muhammad, same thing. "Thou shalt have no other gods except the one God. Worship him alone without any partners." That's the same thing.
Since being Muslim, it's all about relationship. Where's the relationship and love within that?
Beautiful, beautiful. So we have this concept where when a human being gets to know God, and it's not just because people want to talk to God, but they don't want to listen to God. There's a difference, right? We just want to talk, but when we're told what to do, nobody's listening. So then we bring it back and we look at, you know, the different, and really at the end of the day, it really boils down to two. We've made it easy. It's Christianity and Islam. These are the two. You have Judaism in there, the ones that will claim that they were the monotheistic ways of religions, right? So now it's up to you to say, okay, with a sincere heart and mind, to ask the Creator alone to guide me. Now you start examining, you start to look into it with God's help, and now you come to it. And once you get to know God, let's say you get to know him through the Quran, you cannot help but love him. And when you love God, now you want to obey God. Because how can you love your mother if you don't obey her? You see? How can you love your parent? How can you love someone? You're married, but you just want to do what you want to do, and then you go get the gift that's good. Let's say, for example, the person's, your wife, tomorrow you guys get married, your husband is diabetic. You get these nice chocolates. You like them a lot. Right? You didn't take the time out to go and see what that person really loves, but you got what you love. So now you take that, and you know they're diabetic, they can't eat it. Say, "I can't eat that." "Well, I'll eat it. I love you." Doesn't make sense. So we have to find out what God loves. We have to find out, as human being, what God, because we get to know God, then we love God. Now, through knowing God, because it's not where we can do, we just end up doing jumping jacks for God, push-ups for God. Where am I going to, you know, that currency has to be transferable. Yes, a person can have a good intention, but it has to be based on knowledge. The right knowledge, the right intention, and the right action. So these combined will get us where we need to go. How we get to know God is through what he revealed about himself. So the main thing is we don't separate God and put him in this place or that place. The oneness of God is something is inseparable. How we get to know God is through his attributes. So he is the most just. He's the most kind. He's the most merciful. And when we say he, it's not a male or female. Okay, but this is just how you would describe it in the English language, because otherwise we say it. So you got to put, you know, because how the English language works, you say he. But there's no gender with God. Follow me? There's a beautiful verse in the Quran where, and I'll repeat it in Arabic. And why I do that is because it stems back to the authenticity and how we have it in its original. And that's the beautiful thing about Islam, the authenticity of it. Is where God Almighty is saying, again, you say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim." It starts off the chapter. I seek refuge with God from the accursed devil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Say he is God, the one and only, the absolute, the eternal, the self-sufficient. He begets not, nor is he begotten. Meaning he's not the father of anyone, nor was he father. And there's nothing comparable to him. This is how we get to know God through the verbatim word of God, through the Quran.
and what he says about himself. Because I can just go ahead and talk about anybody here, but then I didn't bother to read your authentic biography, and I'm making that stuff as I go along. You follow me? So as Muslims, we make sure that we stick to what God says about himself, and that's how we do justice to God.
Allah speak to you, like, Good
question. God spoke to us through the Quran. So to all of us, spoke to you, to me, to all of us. Whoever opens up the Quran, God is speaking to you. For you guys, will be as a, I would ask you to look at it as a potential book from God. Intellectual laziness would be like, I'm just going to put it to the side. You should examine it as a potential book to you from the Creator. Pick it up with a good translation, right? There's two women, who accepted Islam. It's called from Sahih International or clearquran.com. And read it in the English language, right? You remember from 1800 to 1950, Time Magazine did an article exposing that and bringing to light that over a span of 150 years, there was 60,000 books written against Islam. 60,000 books. So you have to be really careful. That's one book a day. Imagine that was at a time when you didn't have social media, you didn't have Facebook and all the other tools that are out there. Imagine how much junk, you know, to get to the treasure. Now all of this is piled up, so you're going to be affected by that. And there are also people with a deliberate attempt to try to distort many of the words. But so you have to look at a really good translation, because you guys can't obviously read the original, you know the Arabic, but a good translation with the author's humble attempt to go ahead and translate it to the best meaning possible. And then a person looks at it and says, hey man, you know, this is either something that's indeed accurate, it's right, or it's not. At least you give your heart a rest, a peace of mind.
Thank you for taking the time to like speak to us and explain everything. I know I'm definitely not super familiar with it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And in another passage, when he was approached by the guards in the Garden of Gethsemane, they asked, are you Jesus? And he says, I am. But he's not just saying I am as in the word. He's actually quoting previous scripture. So he's saying that I am God.
Remember when I said there's verses that can be ambiguous, and then there's verses that are clear. We would say, look, every prophet or messenger that was sent by God Almighty, they were the way, the truth, and the life. You could not bypass Abraham if you were living during his time. He was the way, the truth, and the light, meaning light bringing the guidance and the way to God. So I can't say, well, I'm just going to bypass him, do my own thing. If you were living during the time of Moses, you cannot just bypass Moses to get to God. You had to follow his teachings. The same thing during Jesus' time. You had to obey him, not worship him. You had to go through him, through his teachings to get to God. That's how we would interpret this, right? And during Prophet Muhammad's, during this time, we would say the way to God, through the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. Not through worshiping him or sitting and partnering with him, but through his teachings.
Yes. In another passage, he also says, I am the Word, and the Word was with God and was God.
Yeah, that's John Muhammad, right?
He explicitly claims that he is the Word. Along with that, he said Jesus was sent only to the Jews, which is correct, because he was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. But when Paul encountered Jesus in the New Testament, he was sent to the Jew and the Gentile, which means the Holy Spirit was the one. He is he.
Yeah. Right.
One thing, though, is...
Do you mind if we open it up for a little more questions?
Yeah, we're not here to debate or anything.
Can I just answer like that? For them, not for you. When Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit,
Elijah.
He's in John 16, if you would like to read it later. John 16.
This leads us into a whole different discussion. Now we would come to the authenticity of the Bible.
People, of course, call the gospel books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we don't know who wrote these books, and there's no point calling them Sam, Fred, Jerry, and Harry. I mean, they're written by people we don't know who they were written by. They are anonymous. You might not think so because they have the title, The Gospel According to Matthew. Whoever put that title on it was an editor later. The followers of Jesus were Aramaic-speaking peasants from Galilee, lower-class men who were not educated. In fact, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, are literally said to be illiterate. They couldn't read and write. Of course not. They were fishermen. They didn't go to school. The vast majority of people in the ancient world never learned to read, let alone write. and their native language was Aramaic. These books are written in Greek by highly educated, rhetorically trained writers who are skilled in Greek composition.
See, this will bring us to a whole different, like John 1:1, for instance, if you take, and remember, guys, when I come at this, I know this can sometimes, this is when we express and we share, it's because we care. It's because I would love everyone here to be a Muslim and to follow Islam. A statement from Prophet Muhammad where he says, one is not a true believer until he loves for his brother, for humanity, sister, what he loves for himself. Hey, it's not where, now I'm trying to win a debate. No, we come from sincere, genuine concern and love. And from truth, where we feel that this is 100% from the Creator and it's for everyone. So we want to share it. So when I mention these points, when we talk about, let's say, John 1:1, you know, the beginning was the Word. If we take Word and we just replace it with God, in the beginning was God, and then God was with God, and God became God. You see, when we look into the textual, when we get into the area of textual criticism, and you look at it, this is a very debatable book that you cannot attribute this even to John. So we don't even know. Many of these books are anonymous books. Like, for instance, many people, and you can look this up on your own, this is not Muslims making it up, Bible scholars will tell us that, for example, one point of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, many people are under the assumption that Matthew wrote Matthew, Mark wrote Mark, and etc. But these are anonymous books. We don't have the original. So we don't have the original Gospel of Jesus. So this is where now the point of contention, and we say, this is why God Almighty sent the Quran. Because man, it's not your fault, it's not his fault or her fault, but human beings have changed the words. Certain human beings have altered. That's why, and this answers your question, why God Almighty sent the Quran, where it's preserved. It's in its original form for humanity to investigate and to look at, scrutinize, and then to conclude at the end, if they're sincere, humble, and they want to know that this is indeed from the Creator. Go ahead. And it's up to you guys at the end. I meant some of these references from the Bible, but then it gets going back and forth because it can mean this, it can mean that. But in a nutshell, when we compare it and we give it the holistic approach, right, we come to the conclusion that there's one Creator, sent messengers, Muhammad being the last, and there's enough evidence there for any human being to evaluate it, to scrutinize. Then, at the end, we get the elephant out of the room, right? We go ahead, and when my Christian comes to tell me that if he loves me, he says, look, believe in Jesus, or you're going to the hellfire. I shake his hand, I say, amen. The guy's telling me because he loves me, right? Why should I be angry with him? You get it? But the same thing now. That's the same thing. If we deny Jesus as Muslims, then at the end of the day, I can end up in the hellfire. But at the same time, Prophet Muhammad, he also said, the one, the Jew or the Christian, the one who hears about me, right, who denies me, same thing, they'll have the same thing we come back and say, that person will be consequence in the hellfire. This is authentic. So we, out of the love, we share the same thing. But now you respect that. Man, these guys, they don't curse Jesus. They honor him and the Blessed Mother. They actually want to strive to make society a better place, right, through preaching good morals and manners and ethics, right? We disagree on this. We can leave that debate sometimes at the dinner table, but we move on if we don't agree to other bigger things, right? We got so many things that are destroying our families and society, but we're going to be stuck over here on these disputes. We shared our message. You shared yours. At the end of the day, who gives the visas to the hellfire? Me? No, but the God. You follow me? So it's in God's hands. You follow me?
Thank you so much for... I really like your way. I respect your way. You're so nice, man. And thank you because you're calm. And you're explaining everything by a very gentle way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's my son, Eddie.
Yeah.
God bless me, really, you know.
Yes.
And I'm a new Muslim since 1998, born in Bosnia. May God save us all. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate having Eddie here to help explain what the Muslim faith is, how they practice, to help us relate in our understanding within our culture and the way that that we've been taught to build some bridges of understanding. And actually, I felt personally that I was invited to understand from a new perspective. So I would definitely encourage people to come, listen, read well, study well. think and ask God for insight, revelation.
MCC has been nothing but gracious and friendly. They're great hosts, as most Muslims are. They're always very nice. And I would totally recommend anybody to come check it out, meet people, ask questions, and totally open to invite anybody.